I really don't want to go to my family reunion.
Why not?
My dad's going to be there, and he's pretty much rejected me my whole life. He wanted a boy, and he got me. My grades weren't good enough. I didn't choose the right career, and I'm still single, so that's really a sore spot.
So you're just going to avoid him for the rest of your life?
If your sense of self-worth is based on the approval of others, you're on a runaway roller coaster with no ability to control when you're up or down. You're listening to Hope for the Heart. Today, June helps us take an honest look at the fear of rejection in our lives, and she offers hope and help for us to get off of the uncontrollable roller coaster and conquer this fear. It's from her series, Rejection, Healing a Wounded Heart. Here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
Fear of rejection test. How would we know if we have this in our own hearts and our lives? Well, if you're uncertain whether or not you're living for the approval of others, listen to these questions. Do you avoid certain people out of fear they will reject you? I was one time asked to sing. This is a very, very high-profile person in ministry, and I was honored to do so, and I was there the entire weekend. I don't think I've ever shared this with a group before, but I was a fairly new Christian. I was growing. I was, you know, just learning and learning, and I was in my 20s, and now I'm 100, so you can do the math. And so I know at least to my knowledge, I wasn't prideful. I don't think I was. I remember I was so shocked at the final session. There was this standing ovation, and it just totally took me aback. And then later, the person who asked me to do it, I did things like this. I was a little different. I would take, like, the song Bridge Over Troubled Water, and I would show how Jesus was the bridge. I would weave songs like that in, and this was really when Sandy Patty was really just coming out with all these wonderful songs, and I didn't have a Sandy Patty style. That's just not who I was. And I remember afterwards, people were so gracious to me, so kind. And I was just taking notes because really, I was not raised with Bible in hand. I wasn't raised in a biblically based church where we studied from the Bible. So I was just loving anything I would get. And the person who had invited me said, "That was good, but I wish you sang like..." And you should have sung the church triumphant. I can still feel it right now. I know I was a disappointment. I just had tears. They would not stop. And I didn't know what to do. I thought, because I'm not a teary person, because I was trained that if you cry, it's a sign of mental illness. That's from my dad. And so I didn't cry. So for me to have tears now, and I couldn't stop, they just kept coming. This was very difficult because I was going to have to now go to the airport. Somebody was going to have to take me or something. And fortunately, the person who took me was not the person who had invited me. It was like I felt humiliated. I was just a failure. I remember something occurred where I was invited to come back to do something that was a training course, but it wasn't for me to sing. I recognized this is an opportunity to learn, and so I thought, I'm going to go, but I did not want to sing. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to learn. I just wanted to study the Bible. And so I tried to stay as far away. If I could just have studied without that person seeing me, that would have been my genuine desire. And I will tell you, even today, that by and large is my disposition. I try to stay away. Do you avoid certain people out of fear they will reject you? Yes! You know, and I would love to say, oh, I have matured beyond that. Now, does this person know about it? Doesn't even know. Because I know somebody who's very close to that person, and the comment is, no clue. No clue that this was wounding. So there are times when you can be wounded and the person has no clue. Because some people aren't real discerning about these types of things. I have lived with a fear of rejection. I'm a lot better now Isn't that nice that I can say that? But, you know, I have to be on guard not to get back into that mode, because I'm aware that I look pretty good to you all, but I know what's in my heart. I want y'all to like me. I do. But I don't want to be immature and live for your approval. I need to be able to take stands and stick with the stands. And I've had, over the past few years, to take stands and stick with them and not cave in. And it's hard for me. It is not natural. I'm more of a give-inner. I'll give in. It's easier, because that's how I grew up. We had to give in to Dad, or else the ramification was too severe. At least I did not know of any other way. But, you know, when you become an adult, you're no longer in survival. You've got to say, when I was a child, I reasoned as a child. Now as an adult, I've got to put those childish ways behind me. I've got to grow up. I've got to mature.
Is the fear of rejection crippling you? Let's return to June Hunt here on Hope for the Heart, as she helps us look at our lives through the fear of rejection test, presenting hope and help to overcome this fear.
Do you become anxious when you sense someone might not accept you? Do you feel awkward around others who are different from you? Do you feel disturbed when someone is not friendly toward you? Do you consider yourself basically shy and unsociable? I used to think, well, I don't want to project myself or whatever. One day I was looking at this, just thinking about the concept of being shy. I used to be told, you have a nice smile, but you don't say anything. In high school. Well, the truth is, I was more afraid of how I would come off. I've learned that shyness is more about the eyes being here, and I've got eyeball-itis. And, you know, we are all different. Sometimes we're different depending on who we're with, right? Mm-hmm. It depends on who you're with as to whether you're more reticent or more overt. What I've learned is, if I'm trying to help somebody, because I became a youth director, and I did have some real shy young people, and I wanted so badly to encourage them. And one of the things that we talked about was, who are you thinking about when you're being shy? And they never had thought about it that way. They just thought, oh, I'm just naturally that way. As opposed to, maybe that other person that you're talking with needs you to open up. Maybe they need you to express care and interest. Do you try to see the negative in others? Do you find yourself trying to impress others? Do you become depressed when someone is critical of you? Of course, I'll have to say that there have been times when if I would maybe speak and I'd be someplace, I could get all these wonderful, gracious comments and people being specific about, oh, this really helped me. But if I get one negative, what do I remember the rest of the time? The one negative. Maybe that's a little bit normal, but the issue is, we mustn't be controlled by it. Certainly not devastated. Back then, when I told you about this incident where I was singing at this thing, I didn't have an identity that was established. My identity was in just trying to help be the peacemaker, be the fixer, all that stuff from my family of origin, even though I wasn't living at home. But sometimes the problem is, we just don't have a solid identity. And therefore, we're going to be much more subject to that fear of rejection. Do you always try to determine what people think of you? Ooh, interesting. Do you always try to determine what people think about you? Do you look for clues as to how people are responding to you so you can avoid the pain of rejection? Do you try to understand people and what motivates them in an effort to anticipate what you should do? Sometimes we are working much too hard, much harder than what God intended. Do you expect people to respond as you do? They won't. Do you experience hypersensitivity to the opinions of others, but are insensitive to your own emotions? Do you struggle with anger, resentment, codependency, control? Do you find yourself easily manipulated? Well, I tell you, the one scripture that really helped me the most in terms of moving out of being living for the approval of others, because that's where I was for a number of years. I was so fearful of rejection because, see, my identity wasn't in Christ. My identity was in whoever the closest person was to me at that point. I had a misplaced dependency. And what helped me was Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men? Everyone read it out loud. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Just stop there. What about? One more time. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Obviously, the deeper our dependency on Christ, the less desperate we are to have the approval of others.
If you've just joined us, we're looking at rejection, healing a wounded heart here on Hope for the Heart. Our host, June Hunt, is helping us take an honest look at the fear of rejection in our lives. She also offers hope and help for us to conquer this fear. Now June shares how identifying and changing our negative core beliefs will help us replace unhealthy and destructive actions. Here again is June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
I want you to see how core beliefs cause feelings of rejection. Everyone has a belief system. It's more than your thoughts. Thoughts come from your beliefs. And one of the primary beliefs that people hold to is, I have to have the approval of others. I have to be accepted by others. It's this have to. If I am not accepted, I don't have any value. So if indeed this is a core belief that you hold, I have to have the approval of others, then because everyone experiences rejection, you will have at times, negative thoughts. I'm not loved. I'm not significant. I'm not accepted. What occurs as a result of that? I feel rejected. And there's this huge hole in your heart. It's not just I feel rejected. I am a reject. I'm a reject. And as a result, rejecting others. In fact, what you find is rejection breeds rejection. I want you to repeat that after me. Rejection breeds rejection. Say it one more time. Rejection breeds rejection. Have you ever seen someone who's just really rejecting other people, all this negative behavior? Where did that come from? That did not come out of nowhere. Look at what occurred in the past. But here's this progression. What you find is when you're into this rejection of other people, it can seem logical if that's you and you've been rejected and you're thinking, oh, yeah. And by the way, I was there at one time. I have to have the approval. This was bedrock at home. It was, we have to have Dad approve of us because of what was going on in our home. But I knew I wasn't loved by him. I mean, I really don't think I was. He didn't know how to be a daddy. I came to grips with that. I even asked my siblings, did Dad ever tell you he loved you? Not one of us were told that we were loved. But sometimes it's not even that. It's just you know you're insignificant. You're just kind of not there unless you're spied, and then you are a project person to do the bidding for whatever needs to be done. So I used to just hide. I'd hear footsteps, and I would literally, if that door would swing inside, I learned to just hide behind the door because I knew I'd be put on assignment to do something. But I knew I had no value personally. And so what became precious was then when I would find somebody who I cared about who actually loved me. And I remember one time going through one of the most painful experiences. It wasn't the first, but somebody whom I thought was a forever friend rejected me. And I was killed. It was months and months and months and months immense woundedness. And sometimes my eyes would just fill with tears, and I'm not a teary person, and I could just think of something, and it was just painful. And I'm talking about a friend, you know, that just knew would not be here today and gone tomorrow. One day I opened the newspaper. It was a high-profile section. It profiled somebody who was doing something good and somebody who had a claim. So it had in there, oh, who do you want to be there for your last dinner? And usually be some famous people. What was the most memorable book you ever read? You know, it just had a list of things. And I just thought it was interesting just to read what people would say. And then the question was, my friends like me because. And I thought, oh, I don't have anything to like. There's nothing that's likable about me. And, there's one thing. I'm a good resource person. If somebody gets sick, I can find the right kind of doctor for somebody. I'm a kind of a can-do person. The reason I became a can-do person was because my dad wasn't a can-do person, and I just figured, well, I want to be able to know how to do whatever it is. My dad was highly successful. He just paid other people to do it. So here's a Sunday supplement and a Sunday paper, and the next day I call my friend on the phone. Barbara, I read this article. And this high-profile section, and I detail what was the type of questions. And then I said, my friends like me because, and I just want you to know, I understand. I know there's nothing in me to like. And I accept that, accept that I can be resourceful. But I understand. I just want you to know I understand. June, that's not true. I said, well, of course you're going to say that. I mean, of course you're going to say that. But I know the truth. June, that is not true. And she tried and she kept trying. And then she said, June, I am not so-and-so. This is Barbara. But I still didn't receive it. I mean, I didn't accept it. I just thought, well, she's just been kind because she's kind. She really is kind. So I called Eleanor. And I tell her the same thing. I understand. I know there's nothing in me to like. Except that I'm resourceful. But I'm okay about that. I can be at peace about that. You know, I really wasn't doing it to evoke a different response. I just had to accept. I was trying to gain acceptance. Yeah, that's right. Okay, there's nothing in me to like. Rejection breeds rejection. Rejection breeds rejection. That is where I was. And I was as serious as a heart attack about that. Regardless of the persona I portrayed, you would have had no idea what I was going through in my mind, because I knew I did not have any value or certainly anything to like, unless I just looked good. And yet, I was assuming things about my friends. And that's why it's so easy if you have this core belief, I have to have the approval of others, and then all of a sudden, somebody significant to you does not approve of you, you're now on this roller coaster. But it's just like all down. And sometimes there's a high, but it's painful. And you can withdraw from others. But that's where I was. And it's like, as much as she would try to reach out to try to help me, I could not receive it, even though I didn't give the persona to others of that. And, you know, it's interesting that in Romans 14:13, it says, let us stop passing judgment on one another. So often we are judging. No, I can't trust you with my heart. I can't open up. No, you would reject me too. If you really knew me, you would reject me. Have you ever said that? If you really knew me, you would reject me. Well, what we have to do is realize that is not what God wants us to live with.
Ever felt like a prisoner to your emotions? Then How to Handle Your Emotions by June Hunt is a must read. You'll learn how by feeling your emotions and dealing with your pain, you can find hope and healing for anger, depression, fear, grief, rejection, and more. Harness the power of your emotions and let God make you into the person He created you to be. You can order your copy online at hopefortheheart.org or by calling 1-800-488-4673. That's 1-800-488-HOPE.
Stay with June Hunt here on Hope for the Heart as she looks at rejection.
How do you deal with bad thought patterns? Well, you get new good thought patterns. You replace the old with the new, the old progression with the new progression. The new core belief needs to be, you know, at times I won't have the approval of others. That's reality. But I have the approval of God. With that core belief, yes, at times I'll be rejected, but the Lord doesn't reject me. New thoughts. I'm unconditionally loved by God. I'm going to put my focus on the truth because the truth sets me free. I'm significant to God. I'm unconditionally accepted by God. You see, there are three inner needs we all have. Love, significance, and security. Love, significance, and security. Our parents are supposed to be the extension of God being our need meter. Because the Bible says, my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. But some of you have had parents who did not love you, or who did not make you feel significant, or who did not make you feel secure. And the tendency for any of us can be to try to get our needs met illegitimately, just some other way, getting the approval of somebody else, looking for love in all the wrong places, doing things that look good, but they're not really. There's a misplaced priority. We shouldn't be doing things just to get the approval of others or to get people to compliment us or to accept us. Instead, we need to realize by God's grace, we are accepted. And out of that comes, it's my privilege to reach out to others. Now, out of my acceptance, I accept you, regardless of if you reject me or not. I am acceptable to God. And out of that, I accept others, I forgive others, I see good in others, I reach out to others. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds.
Hi, this is Paul for Hope for the Heart. When you feel rejection, do you know 8 ways to focus on the facts of your acceptance and not your feelings of rejection? These facts, plus more biblical hope and practical help, are part of June Hunt's Heart of the Matter series, Rejection, Healing a Wounded Heart. You can overcome the pain of rejection, and this series has been developed to help you. Also available is June's book, How to Handle Your Emotions. In this book, June looks at rejection as well as anger, depression, fear, grief, and self-worth. If you would like more information about these resources and how to order them for your personal study, a small group study, even for your own lending library, visit us online at hopefortheheart.org or call 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. And be sure to let us know the call letters of the station where you hear this program. You may feel like you'll never get over your hurt and that the biblical principles June shared will work for someone else, just not you. You're not alone. Listen to this note we received from a listener we'll call Jean.
Thank you for being there, and thank you for taking the time to explain biblical principles that have seemed so beyond my reach. I'm also grateful that I can listen to your program online and on my local Christian radio station.
June Hunt and Hope for the Heart have provided biblical and practical answers to the problems of hurting people through this daily radio program and through many other counseling resources. It has been the goal of this ministry to bring the life-changing hope of Jesus to your heart and to help you share that hope with the people you love. We have many opportunities to reach this goal as technology provides new ways to share this message of hope, but we need your help. You can partner with us in changing minds, changing hearts, and changing lives when you commit to pray for the ministry of Hope for the Heart, for June Hunt, and for the ministry team. You can also invest financially through a generous one-time gift or through planned monthly giving. And we need those who will commit to pray for us on a regular basis as a partner in prayer. Find out more about investing in this ministry online at hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or call 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. Now, here is our host and teacher, June Hunt, once again, with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
If it seems like you've been let down by everyone you love, I have some wonderful news for you. God's love for you
will never fail. Jeremiah 31:3 is one of my favorite verses. This is where the Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.